Earlier today, I woke up with a word, just that was like prepare for the nations. Just formed in our hearts and in our minds. Just formed in us, prepare for the nations. And it's an instruction, prepare for the nations. And we said that when you say Gentiles, it refers to the heathen, the all tribes and languages of people. The passage in Isaiah 60 verse 3 that says that the Gentiles will come. The other translations use nations. The nations will come. That's because the Hebrew word is goyi, and goyi refers to heathen, Gentiles, and nations. Because within the Jewish understanding, there are only two kinds of people in the earth. If you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. And the Gentiles used to refer to all the heathen world. So when Jesus Christ uses the word Gentiles, and the scriptures uses the word Gentiles, he refers to all the nations of the earth that are not of Jewish descent and ancestry and genealogy. So America, we all here are Gentiles. That's how the scripture, we are Gentiles, if you want, in that regard. Praise the Lord. So the word just formed and said, prepare for the nations. And remember, we had looked at the Gentiles will come. Prepare for the nations. So if you link them up together, it's still the same, saying the nations will come. Prepare for the nations. The Gentiles will come. Prepare for the Gentiles. Prepare for the nations. It's a call unto upgrading ourselves, upgrading and building and developing to that height where we can disciple and minister to nations and their kings, or kings and their nations. Because he said prepare for the nations, because there are levels. You can prepare to for an individual, for a group of people, for a community. For you to prepare for a nation or nations, not just a nations, is at another level. You have to be properly equipped, and your equipping being properly developed to full maturity that can handle things, full level of discernment, everything at full supply, full level of discernment, full level of the Spirit of God, full level of the Spirit of grace, full level of authority, full level of steadfastness, standing, full level of standing righteousness, so that in that day you will not fall, because at the gates of nations there are very critical warfare. That is why they said the seed will possess the gates. That is where the contention is. If they say you will possess, you know, possessing, they will possess the gates of their enemies. There's going to be a battle and a warfare for it. So if he said prepare for the nation, it's a call, and it's a wake-up call unto development, upgrading, enhancement, preparation in diverse ways, in study, in fastings, in prayer, in waiting of the Lord, in positioning for impartation and re-equipping, re-education and learning. When people are being trained to be ambassadors to other nations, they are properly prepared for that nation they are going to, and they learn the nation. But since you are going as spiritual ambassadors, you have to even know the curriculum and the synopsis of your learning for you to be effective and appropriate in that endeavor. Because if you are going to be an evangelist in the field, you will not be brought across the same kind of education and schooling in God as a person who is going to be an apostle to the Gentiles, or somebody who is called to be a leader in a local assembly, your learning will not be the same. So if he is saying, and Jesus Christ is saying, the Gentiles will come, and then the world is saying, prepare for the nations, I want you to now receive that word personally and say, prepare for the nations. And so, like, how do I prepare for the nations? That's the same thing that made the prophet Jeremiah say that, oh Lord, I am but a child. Because God had told him and said, I have ordained you a prophet to the nations. He said, I cannot speak. I'm a child. So there may be people that are here and you're like, with what I am, I don't even know scriptures well enough yet to even begin with. I've not even read the Bible complete self. Well, you see the necessity of the task I laid upon you. You are not too young to be fully learned, full of revelation and wisdom. It's a grace, it's a spirit. Jesus amazed the doctors of the law, those who were over 50 above, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, teachers, Pharisees. But he was just 12. And they were amazed. He was discussing the learning of the law with them, bringing his own perspective. And they were amazed at his reason and his comprehension of the law, and how he was able to present and live, bring forth strong reasons out of it. So you are not too young. And people, and over time, those who have worked with us have consistently heard that we put emphasis on capacity without entirely acknowledging what your age or how you see yourself or your level, as it were. And we will require from you utmost skill and efficiency in area of calling, irrespective of even your length of time, your age, your chronology, or how long you have been in the system. Because we know that the grace of God can do a quick work. We always teach people and to educate them not to put a limit on themselves as to what they can be or cannot be within a set time. We teach them to be ready for all possibilities in Christ Jesus. In those, from years back, one of our slogan was, there are many possibilities in Christ Jesus. And so we bring them to see possibilities possible, irrespective of how we see ourselves. And that's why I teach you all the time not to look at anybody and set somebody as your limit. David went to the camp. There were men of war, experienced men of war there. He didn't use their capacity and their own sense to judge himself. Rather, he used his possibility in Christ Jesus and in his God to determine what is actualizable, what can be achieved in Christ, in God. So though he was, in short, the king, I tell him, thou art but a young man. And I've told you, based on chronology, that Saul reigned for 40 years. And David became king when he was 30. So it implied that Saul had already reigned for 10 years before David was born. So you can see the age difference, that if not for anything, Saul should be about in his 40s at the time David was born. So if David was a teenager at about that time, let's say he was 15, 16, or 17, as people usually, as the consensus agree, then that means if you add 15 to, let's say, to about 45, what is that? That's about 60 years. That's why you see Saul will always call him my son. Is that the voice of David, my son? Is somebody he can give birth to. But all of, and he was a man of war. Well, you see, all of those who were at the battlefield that day, but he came, he was the only one with another kind of mindset. So, if you are not too young to be a prophet to the nations. And so because of that, we have looked away from our age. We don't give regard to it with respect to what is possible. We don't even acknowledge it. Again, we look to Christ Jesus to see all that is possible in him. You should also be like that. So that you don't say, well, I see you don't have, I see I'm just, I can, I'm just young, there's no. Don't live like that. Put yourself in a place. It's as if to even put yourself under pressure. But not necessarily the kind of pressure that takes away your peace, but the kind of pressure that makes you restless with accepting the status quo. So don't look at it and say, well, this man was at this age before he got this. Okay, well, he's there. Don't look like that. You can be 17 and do it. All things are possible in Christ Jesus to them that believe. Determines what you see. We have said that what God makes possible, available, is what determines what is possible. So if God has created all this possible, created a limitless supply of possibilities for you, that means that you are the one who now chooses your possibility all depending on what you see in Christ. There are many possibilities in Christ Jesus. You can be anything. That is a full slogan and a full quote from that year. Good number of persons here remember it. There are many possibilities in Christ Jesus. Even you too can be anything. Even you can be anything. Praise the Lord. So prepare for the nations. It's a word, it's a counsel, it's an instruction, it's a wisdom, it's an inside information. Prepare for the nations. God is saying that to many people that didn't know they were called to that level. But he's telling you now in your lifetime, you are not aware, but now he's bringing to you that revelation that in your lifetime, this pertains to you also. So you may not have seen yourself at that level and at that global level. That global level. So God is rebuking you and correcting your mindset about yourself and telling you, prepare for the nations. Maybe you are here, you are prepared for everything. You are prepared for this, you are prepared for that, you are prepared for your life, you are prepared for this, but you didn't add that one. God is saying to you, prepare for the nations. There's somebody here like that. Comfort. God is saying to you, prepare for the nations too. Don't see yourself within the local, you know. You see yourself at the corridors of nations, the doors, the gates, operating international, cross-national, multinationally, becoming an individual and a figure of global relevance and impact that is living within the gates of nations. That is, from these gates, you know when you walk in a hotel hallway where rooms face themselves, room this, when you step out, you see that there's just this long hallway, each with different doors. You can just visualize what I'm saying. We'll come out of room 57, you see room 60 in front, just directly facing you. When you look forward, you just see the rooms, the doors face yourself, then you walk on the hallway. See yourself operating within that hall, the hallway of nations, where every door swings open. You can just open this door, enter, do business there, come out, walk back on the hallway, return to nation 50, you come back to 57, where you have been, which could be Nigeria, and then come out again and go to China, and then come out, walk the hallway all the way, and go to the city of Florida, walk out again, go to that in the return, go to the United States, come out again, go to Europe in Germany, come out, see yourself at the hallway of nations. See yourself as an individual whose residence it's not just within the currency of your nation, Nigeria, but that you can even be in other nations for as much as 6 months because you have engagements and assignments there. Then after you are done, you return to your country to just return and continue what you are doing, and then still go back again and fly over to somewhere to be part of an assignment there and be there for as well as 3 months or 2 more months and fly back somewhere because you are the hallway of nations. You will be at the hallway of nations. I'm saying this to everybody here. See yourself at the hallway. The hallway. The hallway of nations. I don't know if there's such a phrase initially, but now I brought you now to see that phrase. The hallway of nations. And that visual, the visual understanding of it, I've already given us that illustration. The hallway of nations. So he said, prepare for the nations. You are prepared for every other thing. You are prepared for a whole lot of things. You have set your life. You have built it on this, on that. But now he's adding this one. Prepare for the nations. So you add that one at the top and say, I prepared for this. I prepared for that. Now, this one, I prepare for the nations. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Begin to declare, I prepare. I prepare, Lord. Go ahead. Just be declare. I prepare, Lord. I'm preparing for the nations. Wisdom. I require wisdom. I require grace. I need enablement. I need the wisdom. And he's saying that those things will be made available. But just be saying it, I prepare, so that it will be registering consciously. You know, when you can speak to yourself, and when you speak, your mind adjusts. That's why he says, say ye. Let the weak say it, I am strong, so that his system can align with the words. Because our body responds to these things we speak. So be declaring it. I prepare for the nations, and Lord, I need wisdom. And he's saying, I will give you wisdom. Lord, I need grace. He's saying, I will give you the grace. All these things I will give to you, I made it available because I know there's an assignment. Every of God's endeavor and project has its own resources and made that is already ready to sustain it, to facilitate it. So you are saying, Lord, and you say, I will give you wisdom. I will give you grace. I will give you connections. I will help you. I will promote you. I will give you grace. I will lift you. I will decorate you. I will anoint you. I will glorify you. I will distinguish. I will set you apart. I'll put a mark on you. You will be clear. You will be shining. There's something different about you. Excellence will just rob you. You'll be a star. You'll glow. I'll set you apart. When they see you, they will always set you apart. They will recognize you as a different being. He said, I will do that for you, but just be declaring, Lord, I prepare for the nations. Declare it. Declare it so that it can become part of your consciousness. Because many of you have not seen yourself in that light. But just be declaring it so that it now becomes a part of your consciousness. Jesus is Lord. Prepare for the nations. Prepare. Lord, I prepare. I'm prepared for the nations. I'm prepared for the nations. We are prepared. I am prepared for the nations. For the nations we have come. Malakasu pregetekele pregetias. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' most precious name. As we round up tonight, I'll give you this word from God. If you can, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49 verse 6. Please, if you can, you should, everybody, unless it is you can, you should open your Bible now. I want you to see it as we are reading it. Isaiah 49 verse 6. Isaiah 49 verse 6. Is indeed, he says, and we are reading now, Isaiah 49 verse 6. Because that word will be a prophecy for somebody's life. It will just come, it will hit you. It's a prophecy for somebody's life. It's a prophecy over your life. It's a prophecy over your life. You will hold on to it. So if you are there, so read it together as we are seeing it. He said, indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will give you as a light to the Gentiles. My God, I will give you. You didn't see that. Are you saying that? It's you. I will give you as a light to the Gentiles. Comfort, I believe you are seeing that. I believe you are seeing that, Comfort. And I believe every one of us here is seeing that. I will give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. That's just the word for this evening. It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. So what do you see there? It illustrates and fulfills and completes what we have just begun to say. And you see the way the Holy Spirit, God, is coordinating this thing so that you can see how it happens. You see, we said that prepare for the nations. But see how this scripture just beautifully paints everything we are seeing. God said, he said in that word and to those guys, and he said in that passage, in that prophecy, he said, he says, it is a small thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. Some persons have seen themselves just in only that light. That's why God says it's not enough. It's still small yet. You are not only going to be my servant to raise up the tribes of Israel, the preserved ones. You are not just going to be my servant to have one local assembly somewhere and doing stuff. You are not just going to be my servant so that you can be serving the church and then just be doing one small something somewhere. He said it's a small thing. He's saying that you don't know how much the fullness of what I want to do with you yet. He said you don't know how much I have set that you will do for me. So since you don't know, let me let you know now that, see, Angus, see, whoever is listening, it is a small thing yet. It is a small matter, still trivial yet, in comparison with what is to come, that you should just be my servant to raise the preserved, to restore, and to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved one. It is a small thing for you to just be only a youth leader. I've made you a youth leader in a capacity, and you have spoken to the youth, and you have raised them and taught them. It is a small thing yet. It's not even the crux of the matter. It's not the full balance yet. You are not aware. You have not been aware all this while. You see, it's a small thing. And somebody, that's just it. It is still a small thing yet. You think this is all God will have me do. This is all God has said concerning me. This is all God will have for me. He said to you, you don't really know yet. It is a small thing. The King James Version will say it is a light thing. This version says it is a small thing. And that is it, that some of the things that some persons are holding on to, celebrating, and giving so much credence to, and it's good, celebrate God, you are grateful to God for what you are seeing and for what he has spoken to you that you already know. God is saying to you that, I acknowledge your gratitude, and because you are a grateful person, but it is a small thing yet. And all the dangers that arises when you now, because it's only the small thing you know, you prepare your life and arrange your life to fulfill the purpose of only that small thing. That's why God came and added, prepare for the nations. So he said it's a small thing. What you still know is a small thing. I've made you to be this for me. I've made you to be that for me. I've made you to be serving, to be somebody that is doing this for me. I've made you to be this in your world. You are doing this. God said, listen, it's still a small thing. And there are many people that some of the things that God have said to you, and you are celebrating, and you already see yourself approaching it and entering it fully. God is saying to you that it is a small thing yet. Now hear what he says. He says, I will also. God. There's somebody here that God is going to come to you and add a statement that we say to you, I will also. Because you thought that was the finality, but God is still coming to add the balance. I will also, he hid that one from you all this while to see how you will fare, to see how you will grow, how you will fare with this one. So now that he has marked you and seen you and understudied you and seen your motive, and he can say you are faithful and well done, sir, as we will say here, he will come back to tell you, I will also. And this wouldn't know that about themselves until the prophet came. The prophet came and began to make known the word of, and declare the word of God to them in his prophecy to them. He said, it is a small thing that you should raise up the tribes of Jacob. It's a small thing. Some of you think, okay, God is sending me to raise up, to build up young people and all that. God is saying, yes, you will do that, but even that is still a small thing. That is not the balance. He said to restore the preserved ones. He said, yes, God has come to preach to the backsliding and all. That's very excellent. And you will do that. And you will succeed in that mightily. But God said that, oh, there is still something else. I will also. There are many, many I will also that is still pending in your life that you are yet to come to knowledge, that God is yet to make known to you. I will also. From today and even right now, God has started adding the balance of I will also, because you are now beginning to see the full picture and the broader picture of the things that God has spoken to you already. And you will continue to see them continually. You will still continue to see them. He said, I will also. So God is saying, I will also do what? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. You have never seen that one about yourself. But today, God has made it known to you. My God. Wow. You have never thought that about yourself. But today, God has made it known to you. God has made it known to you. You have never conceived that about yourself. You have never seen yourself in such a light. You have never said, oh, could this be me? But today, God is making it known to you. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. That part you didn't know. That portion of the revelation, that portion of the mystery you didn't know. Today, God has just made it known to you. I will also give you as illumination to the Gentiles. So your calling also is to the Gentiles. Jesus is Lord. You know what just hit you? That is light. What you are just experiencing now is the light we have been talking about that unveils to you. You have just had an experience of light. Many will admit that they have not seen a dazzling thing shine over their face, although there may be some who are having that experience. But you can't deny that there is a disclosure, a coming to a knowing, and a veil has just been pulled off from your mind. You are now seeing beyond the limit. Where was hazy? You have just seen beyond where a limit was before. It is a small thing that you should be my servant and raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. I will also give you. As if it's just an addition. You didn't realize. It just came. So this is the balance. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. So a light to the Gentiles is what you are. A light to the Gentiles is who you are. A light to the Gentiles is who you are meant to be. A light to the Gentiles is what you are. A light to the Gentiles is who you are. A light to the Gentiles is who you were meant to be and who you are meant to be. It is a small thing. It is a light thing. It is a small matter. It's a light matter. It is not very important with respect to what is on the table, that you should be my servant and raise the tribes of Jacob for me and then restore the preserved ones. Because I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. God is giving you as a light to the Gentiles. Some people have not seen that, but God is giving you as a light to nations. Watch this, Nelson. Where is Nelson? Is Nelson there? Where is Bro Nelson? I declare upon you in the name of Jesus that the purposes of God for your life will come to pass. The ones that pertains to what we are saying about also that you are yet to know, you will come to the knowledge of it in the name of Jesus. And also the steps that you should take, the bold steps. God will give you the boldness to take bold steps. The bold step that you need to take, you will be enhanced and engraced to take those bold steps in the name of Jesus. Bold, large steps. Maybe between you and the next step before you, there's more like a gulf, the way there is a drainage between one part and the next part, or between one road, one lane and the other lane, and it seems to be wide. God will give embolden you to take a bold step across. And whatever bold step is that is needed in this season and time of your life to take, you will take it by the impartation of grace upon you. And by the time you have made the leap, you only look back to wonder how you made it. But it is not you, it is not because it is by your nation that you made it, but the grace of God strengthened you and emboldened you and energized you to take a leap across. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. It is done. You will be made to shine in your days. The fullness of the mantle and the robe that God has given to you, the mantle of eldership, the mantle of leadership, and the mantle of being an elder, somebody that is like a senior statesman, that people will listen to your counsel and listen to your opinion on the matter, is robed on you in the name of Jesus. Where your matter counts, the way Job said he counted in his days out, they waited for his word to drop. And by the time when he was speaking, all of them will keep quiet and they will hold their mouth, and they've waited for his word like dew. That's how much he mattered. And when he went through the gates, they stood still and acknowledged him and gave him honor and respect. That kind of realm of operation of relevance and matterness, if I could use that word, where you matter, that grace, that robe, that configuration, that ordination rests upon you now in the name of Jesus. God bless you. The grace and the anointing of the Spirit, the enablement of God, rest heavily on you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, speaking to many, he said that we also give you as a light to the Gentiles. So you have not seen yourself in that light, but God is making you know, making it known to you. Prepare also in this wise. I will also give. So you are destined also to be a light to Gentiles, not only just to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the ones that have been preserved. There is still something else. And that's just a word to somebody. There is still something else. And even to us here, sitting here, through whom the word of God is coming for, because the word of God comes and we all receive it. There is still something else. Even angels, there is still something else. You have seen this, you have seen that. There is still something. There is still, and I will also, even for me, here seated, even for us together, and even as a network, there is still something else. And God will make it known to us. Hallelujah. So if he says, so we give God praise for that. So you see that the necessity and the demand that is laid. So if you are a light, if you are also destined to be a light to the Gentiles, then have you this light? How? will you be a light to the Gentiles? This one question to consider. How will you be a light to the Gentiles? How am I to be a light to the Gentiles? Because we know physically and what, we are not just a light bulb. And the Gentiles nations have light, by the way. Is this part of the world that we are still trusting God? So the question, it's not just to efforge physically as a physical luminary or an effulging and a radiant body or a body with illumination physically. That may be part of it as manifestations of glory where people can literally see that you are glowing. But how do you become a light? Functionally, intellectually, spiritually, and destinally. We are creating new words now. In terms of destiny and purpose and assignment, how do you become a light to your world? Well, I'll read a passage for us. Peter, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay. When you are there, read from verse 41.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
First Corinthians chapter 15.
Yes.
Verse 41.
Yes.
The sun has one kind of splendor.
What's going on from the NKJV, the New King James Version?
Okay, let me.
Or maybe the King James Version if you have, please.
Okay.
Jesus is Lord.
All right, from the King James Version.
Yes.
There is one glory of the sun.
There's one glory another, of the sun.
And another glory of the moon.
Yes.
And another glory of the stars. For yes, one star differed from another star in glory.
Praise the Lord. So, Paul was talking about the glory of the saints. If you read further, he said there's one glory of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he said one star differed from another in glory. We have interpreted that also to mean that the level of the illumination is different, which is true. But it also means that the level, their kind of illumination is different. Their kind of glory differs. One star differs from each other in glory. And I'm going to teach you a little astronomy. If you study astronomy and physics of space and cosmology and chemistry of space, you will see that the astrophysicists or the astronomers are able to categorize stars into different categories and call them a class or family. How are they able to do that? And they can tell you the compounds that are in this place, tell you the elements found in this place, and catalog several information of heavenly bodies that they have not even smelt up to 95% close. They have not covered into even 5% distance to it. How are they able to do that? It's because they use indirect methods which are based on observation. And there's what is called a spectrum, an emission. So what they do is that they focus objects and lenses, powerful lenses, and focus them on these stars. And because of the particulate nature of light, this light flows through these lenses and disperses on an observation screen, and it's an aspect of physics which you have done from elementary physics, which was discovered by Sir Isaac Newton, about refraction and the dispersion of light rays, where Sir Isaac Newton discovered that when you pass white light through a triangular prism, it forms a spectrum at the end that the light distributes into seven components, which are actually wavelengths. I hope you know that the color you see are actually different wavelengths of light. And that's why from that we're able to discover that the white light, the light that reaches us from the sun, is made up of seven different wavelengths or colors, which is what formed the seven colors of the rainbow, because where the water vapor gathers after rainfall, it acts as a medium that disperses the light coming from the sun and casts this dispersion and this refraction at the other clouds as a screen, while we see the rainbow displays. Every color you see is actually lights of different wavelength. Our brain interprets those wavelengths to our vision as colors. And that's how they are able to make different colors emerge from designs, because they are able to create, by that understanding, different wavelengths of light. So each star in the heavens has its own properties studied by their wavelengths. So when they chart different wavelengths of stars, they will see that this particular color is missing in this spectrum. This particular color is missing in this spectrum. And then with their study of gases and how much, and the emissions that happen, the color that is emitted when gases are ionized or when energy passes through them, they are able to tell which element is present in this star and which one is absent because of the absence of this, and tell properties based on their red shiftedness or their blue shiftedness with respect to the color of their spectrum. Every star in creation emits a different kind of spectrum that determines its properties. Paul had already discovered it. He said each star differed from another one in glory. Glory is light, radiation. If you go through that scripture, you see the link, because he was talking about the glorification of the saints. So I will give you as a light to the, how do you become a light? But, and one thing to now consider is that everybody is a different kind of light. That's why Paul said every star differeth from another in glory. You already know that sons of God are actually stars. That's how prophecy speaks of them. When Jesus was born, Matthew chapter 2, the wise men came and said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star, his star, his star." And you see that a bright star appeared in the sky. So how do you become a light to the Gentiles? Is it just becoming a light? How? And not because I found how to be a light to the Gentiles, it doesn't mean that is how you will be a light, because you may be another kind of star emitting another kind of glory. Every star differeth from one another in glory. Every star differeth from another in glory. One star differs from another star in glory. They differ. And the amount and the intensity of light these stars have is in respect to their properties. How the length, the distance between the source and the observing telescope, and how much absorption takes place within the star, because before there is a propagation of that, of their energy, of their light. One star differs from another star in glory. My glory may not be your glory, because you are called to reflect, to propagate another kind of glory. And let me tell you, what accounts for the emission of a star? You know, the scientists have told us that the energy, and it is so that the energy of the sun is because there is a burning up going into the in the sun based on helium. And as a matter of fact, there is nuclear process going on within the sun. And why the sun is going, is still burning, is because of its helium content. And that's why they anticipate that in 100 million years from now or so, that the sun will go out black, because every star has its life cycle. Because they anticipate that it's going to use up its helium content, because it has been burning for millions and billions of years already, according to that design. So the white light that this star, the sun emits, is because of the content of chemical reaction happening inside. The kind of light the other stars release also is dependent on the kind of chemical reactions and activities going inside them. The kind of star light and glory you emit is determined also by the kind of Holy Ghost reaction going on inside you. The kind of Holy Ghost activity going on inside your mind, inside your soul, inside your spirit, inside your life, in your life. So one star will differ from another one in glory, because one star possesses another one kind of Holy Ghost reaction, has another kind of reaction inside it that differs from the elements that are available in this other star, that is causing a kind of combustion and activation reaction by the fire of God and the glory of God and the grace of God combining together to create a glorious inferno or explosion inside of him, giving off another kind of emission reaction. So you are one kind of star, I'm another kind of star, with a different kind of Holy Ghost combustion in my soul, in the chambers of my heart, in the recesses of my mind, deep inside my being and my humanity. You are another kind of star with a different kind of Holy Ghost reaction going inside. So because of that, what is present in your reaction, this is the kind of light you emit. This is the kind of glory I also emit. But together, we declare the glory of the heavens. God, he said, the heavens, they declare the glory of God. Laro toshingala brakasuga kilereke suprekedeya. You know what that means? The collectiveness of the heavenly bodies, they reveal God's glory. That's daba. The heavens daba, the glory of God. They declare, they make known with all their differing kinds of glory they reveal. It is like that when you are one kind of star, we come together as with the heavens, being of heaven. The heavens can now declare the glory of God, the heaven that we reveal on earth, because the heaven will be on earth. That is one dimension of the glory of God. Heaven on earth, it brings heaven to earth. It's heaven on earth kind of experience. The stars will emit their glories. Then Psalm 19 verse 1 can come to play, that the heavens declare the glory of God. That's the firmament is handiwork. Talks about the stars and the host of the heavens. One star differeth from another in the glory. What kind of star are you? Knowing that is what links back to the original question. How do you become a light to the Gentiles? How do you become a light? How are you a light to the Gentiles? And what kind of star are you? And what glory do you emit? What Holy Ghost combustion goes on in the chambers of your heart, deep in the recesses of your mind? What chemical reactions in Christ, substances of God that burns inside you? Because you see the stars, they are burning. It's combustion going on. They are burning, burning. And we have the fire of the Holy Ghost that burns. What emission takes place? That determines the kind of star you are. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. And one star is different from another star in their glory. The light that comes out from them. And Jesus is Lord. You have Jesus, just go ahead, give him praise. Thank you. You have heard word today. You can never remain the same. You have heard something today. It's not possible for you to remain the same. Go ahead, give God praise. Thank him. Worship him. Just pray in the Holy Ghost and magnify his name for the things that you have heard and you have received today. Say, Father, we are thank you. Thank you for this heavy deposit of light, illumination, and revelation. Thank you for your help and grace. Thank you, Adonai. Glory to God. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.